What are the EU peripheries? Welcome to the next episode, which presents some of the results of the 100 Shades of the EU study on the two peripheries of the EU by Giuseppe Celi, Valentina Petrovic and Veronica Suljava-Salminen. The study was supported by the Political Foundation Transform Europe and the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation. Which countries and which regions of the EU is the 100 Shades study actually about? Because our study is comparing 17 countries in total, it was necessary to systemise these countries, divide our work and build the research questions in a way that made the research manageable. Comparisons always imply a degree of generalisation and abstraction, and this was the case here too. We've identified 6 EU member states in Southern Europe, 7 countries in Central Europe and the Baltic states, and 4 members in the Western Balkans as peripheral regions of the EU. The first group of Southern European countries consists of Italy, the EU's founding country and the 4th largest economy in the EU. It has a somewhat privileged position in this group, although its economy has solid peripheral features but has strengthened in recent decades. This makes Italy itself a unique case in our study. Spain, Portugal and Greece are 3 countries that integrated into the EU, then the European Economic Community, due to the democratisation wave in the 1980s. All 3 countries went through authoritarian regimes of various shades. They are therefore characterised by political discontinuity. Italy, Spain and Portugal, but also Greece, experimented with fascism in the first half of the 20th century, which is typically a peripheral political phenomenon. This was not by accident. Fascism was a kind of attempt at modernisation from above, and some refer to it as modernising dictatorship. So there are connections between economic peripherality or backwardness and fascism or authoritarianism. Finally, the last 2 small states in Southern Europe, Malta and Cyprus, became members of the so-called Eastern Enlargement in 2004 and are small economies with a heavy reliance on services and finance. In our study, the member countries in the east of the EU are the Visegrad Group, which includes the Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia and Poland, and the Baltic countries Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia. We added Slovenia, Bulgaria, Romania and Croatia to the eastern periphery in the southern eastern part of Europe. The last 3 countries were admitted to the EU in 2004 and 2013, while Slovenia, the V4 countries and the Baltic states were admitted in 2004. And all of these are countries were admitted to the EU as part of the post-communist or post-socialist transition, the transition from state socialism of different shades to a market system under the wings of neoliberal globalisation, which brought political change, democratisation, property redistribution, privatisation, and trade or economic integration into the Western European economy and the global economy and trade. The EU has been essential in these reforms since at least 1994, when most of these countries applied for EU membership. Thus, while accession and transition are 2 theoretically distinct processes, they have been intertwined and strongly influenced the outcome. An example is the process of the banking sector in Eastern Europe, which was also brought about by the pressure of EU accession. At the end of this process, which involved the privatisation of banks, the Eastern member states have the highest proportion of foreign ownership of the banking sector in the world. Given the importance of banks for economic development, this is not a mere statistic, but a manifestation of a fundamental structural deficiency and dependency factor. Thus, in this study, we have focused on a relatively large group of countries that are different in size, both in terms of population and economic size, of different political histories, and historically have not always been on the margins of Europe. This is true of Italy, Spain and Portugal, have other post-imperial or post-colonial legacies and different histories of industrialisation. For example, the Czech Republic is one of the most industrialised countries since the 19th century, with different geographic locations highlighting the differences between coastal states and continental states, and additional efforts made to challenge their peripheral status in the past. However, capitalism has been characterized from the outset by integration or globalization, as described by Marx and Engels in the Communist Manifesto. It has a never-ending expansion to acquire newer and newer markets. The European integration has led to the integration of the countries of the former Soviet bloc and their economies into a common cycle and a single market. However, this involvement is far from equal and is not based on equal opportunities. It does not give all countries the same benefits and the same opportunities. Uneven development and uneven exchange in a context of interdependence still broadly characterize relations between the EU's periphery and its core. But we must explain what the core means and where the core of the European Union is today in order to talk about the peripheries. We saw three countries as the core in the first place: Germany, France, and the Netherlands, which are economically and politically the three most developed and influential EU countries with a high GDP above the EU average, like Belgium, Luxembourg, or Denmark. All these countries have relatively strong capital that was and is involved in various ways in the dependency networks of the peripheral economies in the form of, for example, lenders, Southern Europe, or investors, Central and Eastern Europe. While Sweden or Finland do not have comparable influence in the EU to these countries, they play a role as an economic core concerning, for example, the Baltic countries, similar to Austria in Central and Eastern Europe. In other words, the core of the EU is structured in terms of economic and political power and position in relation to other peripheral economies in the EU. In the next episode, we will look at the specific economic structure of the two EU peripheries and what characterizes their economic models.